you know, Aretha Franklin is in the produce aisle. And the cashier said to me, she's always here.
Because libraries, you know, historically have been there for the community to come and as a place. And that's something that's really important, especially kind of coming out of COVID.
At 25,000 feet, the rear cargo doors and ramp blew off in flight.
He said, hey, my partner Mary's leaving the show, and I wonder if you'd like to join me. I was like, I don't think so.
People would say, well, what do you do? And I would say, I'm a librarian. And they would say, oh, that must be wonderful to read all those books.
Exactly.
And I would just smile and say, yes, it would be wonderful.
Welcome to CattleCast with Capital Area District Libraries Executive Director Scott Dimstra.
Thanks for checking in for episode 45 of the CattleCast podcast, where we feature a nice mix of interesting and entertaining conversations. Please subscribe to the podcast and share our episodes with your friends and family. As a University of Michigan grad, it's tough for me to say this, but cue the music. Joining me today on CattleCast is Dr. Samuel Stanley Jr., President of Michigan State University. Hello and welcome, President Stanley.
Good morning, Scott. It's great to talk with you.
Now, this being the second year that students are coming back to campus in the fall during a global pandemic, what safety measures do you have in place for the fall semester?
So this is going to be an amazing fall, first of all, because as you said, last year, we really did not have many students on campus in the fall. So we're really going to have two classes now coming in for the first time at Michigan State University. And so it's going to be almost double the first year experience, if you will. And so it makes it even more important, I think, that we have safety measures in place that are going to allow us to operate the campus in the most safe manner possible for our faculty, staff, and students, and also, of course, to keep the community at low risk as well. So we're doing a number of things. So the first and probably most important is a mandate for vaccinations for all of our students, faculty, and staff. This is something we implemented as we saw what was happening with the Delta variant. Our original plans actually were to not necessarily have to mandate vaccination. We felt that we probably could achieve a level of vaccination among faculty and student and staff that would give us herd immunity and reduce transmission to low levels. But Delta changed the numbers on that and made it so we had to get above 90%, we thought, to have safety on campus. So that will be taking place. At the same time, as the case numbers have gone up in Michigan and across the country, again, primarily due to Delta, we put a mask wearing mandate in place as well indoors. So everyone indoors will be wearing a mask. We'll have exceptions for the vaccine mandate for individuals who have medical reasons or religious reasons. There's forms that will be available for students, faculty, and staff to fill out. But in surveys we did before we introduced the requirements for vaccination, we had found that about 93% of our faculty were vaccinated in terms of those who responded to the survey, and about 87.5% of students. So that was a return of about 33,000 individuals from a survey that went to about 60,000 individuals.
Those are fantastic numbers. And as MSU is very much in the community for this region. And so it's great to know that there is such safety measures in place, because that impacts the surrounding communities as well, too. And for students coming back, there are some students who were freshmen last year who are now sophomores, and you have students who were freshmen coming in, and they kind of want that college experience. So overall, what is the student experience going to be like? Is it going to be similar to pre-COVID, or are there still going to be some limitations in place?
I think it's going to be very similar. And I think the limitations we'll see are probably in some areas related to indoor recreation and things like that, where, you know, mask wearing may make it more difficult to do exercises and things like that inside gym facilities. But overall, what we envision is we are going to have in-person classes. Some of our large classes will be in person. But again, we're having a population on campus who's been vaccinated and who will be wearing masks. And we put the mask wearing mandate in place for the first, you know, 6 weeks or so of the semester. But we may obviously continue it depending on what's happened in the community and outside. So, but I think beyond that, you know, people will be living in dormitories. People will have roommates. People will be going to football games. People will be, you know, outside, and we're non-mask wearing outside. So that'll be nice. So I think there'll be a lot of things that allow people to feel they're returning. And I think when we had students on campus these past couple of semesters, when we did have mask wearing requirements, they were very good about wearing wearing their masks indoors. And when we had an outdoor mask requirement, pretty darn good about wearing them outdoors as well. And same with faculty and staff. So that, I think the campus is used to these kinds of things, but I think it'll be much freer. And in dining halls, it'll be, think about it as an airplane. If you've flown, you wear your mask, but when you want to eat, you pull it down, you take a few bites, you pull it back up again. And so we keep trying to keep each other safe through those kinds of interventions.
Kind of switching up topics a little bit, what partnerships or plans do you have going forward or in the short-term future at the university?
So I think some of the biggest things we're doing involve issues related to healthcare. So one of the most important ones is our collaboration with Henry Ford Healthcare System. And this is really something that touches on all three components of our health mission. So education, research, and clinical care. And so it's really a collaboration, more than just an affiliation, that we're developing a true partnership. And so we will be doing research together. We will be providing, I think, opportunities for merged clinical care together, not in the areas where we're working with Sparrow or McLaren or Spectrum, because we have affiliations with them as well that are very important to us, and we're going to continue those. But in a number of areas, particularly in Southeast Michigan, we're going to be partnering extensively with Henry Ford and actually working with a goal of creating a branch of our medical school at the Henry Ford site, very analogous to what we did in Grand Rapids, essentially, where we created a branch of the Medical School, College of Human Medicine in Grand Rapids. And so this has been, I think, a great opportunity for us to really take healthcare out. We also are partnering with Apple and an Apple Developer Academy. Oh. That'd be in downtown Detroit. So this is something Apple has developed, and they have, I think, four or five around the world. This is the first one in the United States, and it's going to be in Detroit. And so we are going to be finding young individuals, 18 and above, who are interested in learning to code for the Apple iOS system and develop apps for that. They will get an intensive course to do this, a year-long course for some, 2 years for others. And at the end, we also are teaching them entrepreneurship at the same time. So they will have the opportunity maybe to join an existing company with their skills, or to go out and set up their own company, or advise a small startup on how to work. So this is the goal. There's, as I mentioned, there's an Apple Developer Academy in Australia, in Italy, in Indonesia, in Brazil. So this is the first one in the United States. And again, we're excited about having the opportunity to do it with them. And eventually, you know, it'll touch, you know, 500 or more individuals by the time the project is done over the first 4 years.
Fantastic. And I'm from the west side of the state. So whenever I go back there, I see a lot of the growth in the medical field through MSU. And I'm really impressed with that. I mean, the MSU has done fantastic work in expanding that in the west side of the state as well, too. So it's great that that's going to grow throughout the state. You've made it very attractive for future students. And so for the freshmen, the sophomores, and the juniors in high school right now, what advice do you have for them if they want to attend MSU?
Well, first of all, we're obviously very interested in getting as many students as we can to Michigan State University with the goal of helping them succeed and graduate. So I think when we talk about our strategic plan for the university, student success is at the top of our strategic plan. And the goal is to help every student who comes to Michigan State, every student we accept, we believe should graduate. And we want to help them not only graduate, but then find a rewarding career afterwards. And so those are our goals. And I think everything is tailored around that. So our graduation rates have been going up every year since I've been here and before. We're at about 81.3% now for 6 years. Student debt has been stayed flat. Financial aid has increased significantly over the time. So we're doing everything we can to help students succeed and remove barriers for people to going to college, staying in college, and graduating from college. And as I said before, finding a productive career. So if you're interested in going to a university that can combine being sort of large and small, we do some things, you know, that's, you know, it's, we're a very large university overall in terms of number of students, but by our neighborhood system for housing, where you have, you know, counselors and advisors in living near, or not living, but available in the dormitory around you. You have some classes you can take, you know, where you can just go in your pajama sweats to class, you know, right out of the room. You know, something I would have liked to be able to do when I was in college.
Oh, yeah, me too.
So that allows us to create kind of neighborhoods for students. So you have a group of people you get to know and know better. So by doing that, we really give opportunities, I think, for students to truly have the college experience. And of course, with Big Ten sports, all the other things that are part of MSU, and a beautiful city to be in around in East Lansing with many things that are appealing to students there, I think we're really in a great position to offer a high quality education with lots of experiential learning experiences for students who are interested in getting an MSU education.
And we always like to end with a library type question. So this can be professional reading, personal reading. Hopefully you have some time for some personal reading. But is there any title that that you would recommend to our listeners that you either read, listened to, or watched recently?
So right now I'm reading a mystery novel, that's one of the major series, but, you know, I don't know if I need to give it any publicity, but there's a book by Charles King, Gods of the Upper Air, and it was a New York Times bestseller, and it's a story of cultural anthropology, which really, you know, was really kicked off to a large degree in the United States. And my dad was a cultural anthropologist. So for me, it's really interesting to read this because some of the people were contemporaneous with my father, and to read about kind of this history and really how we went. And it's also a story of race and racism in America. It very much deals with that because a lot of the origins of cultural anthropologists were counteracting physical anthropologists who were putting cases forward to suggest there were differences between the races in physical characteristics and mental characteristics. And I think there was really a great effort by cultural anthropologists to debunk a lot of that research. And then that was a very important part of it. So it's a great kind of history of that time. It's really, as I said, deals with the challenges of race in America, which we all are very much aware of. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I think for me, tells the story of some people who my dad either knew or certainly had been taught by or really was interested in the products of their knowledge. And so that for me has been the most impressive book I've read recently.
Well, President Stanley, it's always a pleasure. I want to thank you for all that you've done for the university, for our community, and we chatted a little bit beforehand for being a library user as well. So thank you so much for joining me on CattleCast today.
Yeah, again, thank you. And again, the library is amazing. I really encourage people to use it. There's nothing more important that I feel in terms of helping prepare people educationally than reading. Frankly, I think if you look at my children and their abilities, I think their reading and the fact that they all read a lot as kids, I think really helped them further in life. So I encourage you to have your kids read. The video games and other things, you know, are maybe important for recreation, but I think the more they read, I think as just speaking as a university professor, the more successful they're going to be.
And there you hear. We'll end on that very positive note from President Stanley from the Michigan State University.
Thank
Be
you.
On the lookout for another episode of CattleCast, and for great reading recommendations, listen to episodes of the Reader's Roundtable edition of CattleCast. Thanks for listening.
Don't miss another great interview. Subscribe to the CattleCast podcast and share it with a friend.
Hey, it's Dee Dee in the Morning with Dee Dee's weekly download from Capital Area District Libraries. This week's title is In My Broken Language, a memoir by Kiara Allegra Hudes. The Pulitzer and Tony Award-winning playwright writes beautifully and poetically about coming of age in a Philadelphia barrio surrounded by her large Puerto Rican family. To stream or download this or other featured titles, just visit cadl.org/Dee Dee.
Stacks 92.1.